A weak solidarity bricky team, Lister, when Melbourne should be ashamed of itself, and Sydney for that matter, and London and Paris and Berlin and Kuala Lumpur and, well, cities here and all over the world. Thousands and thousands of evil terrorist supporters opposing slaughter and destruction, defying calls from their wise leaders to respect the sensitivities of the slaughterers and destroyers. I went along, well, we went along, listener, hoping for the best, but no, I'm sure you were as disappointed as I was, surrounded by thousands and thousands of disobedient agitators with no respect for those espousing sensitivity. These people, I was forced to tell myself, and I suspect you told yourself, listener, these people have no concern for, no respect for the sensitivities of the slaughterers and destroyers. Gross disrespect for those calling for them to show that concern, from our big supremo Anthony Albanese to the minister for going overseas all the time and being a perfectly good little prefect, petty left wing, and the great mind that is the minister for being offensive and train killing Richard Malls, the bad guys, and caring business class party supremo and would be big supremo Constable Peter Duffer and his lot, and most importantly, that even handed internationalist Lord Rupert of Wapping. And yet, when Anthony attended a function for the slaughterers and destroyers, he was excoriated for not supporting them enough. Weasel words, they said. Weasel words like Zion has a right to defend itself. No, no, that's not the weasel words, but mistakenly undoing that support by calling for a ceasefire. Which is a bit silly, really, because who's going to listen to True Blue Aussie anyway? And not much thanks for supplying vital parts we don't supply for the jets allowing the slaughter and destruction. Whereas at a similar function in Sydney, Constable Duffer was cheered wildly every time he attacked Anthony for calling for a ceasefire, extending to Parliament, where Pete and his lot just couldn't bring themselves to support a motion sympathising with the slaughterers and destroyers, because the motion also suggested a ceasefire might be a good idea. All of which shows why it is a further waste of time calling for a ceasefire, because Zion regards that as weasel words, and Constable Duffer, fresh from a visit to Zion, knows Zion is violently opposed to a ceasefire. Like you know, violently, because violence is the only way to peace. To when there will be no non-land, non-people to worry about, and all the land from the river to the sea will be Greater Zion. Although, Anthony and Pete should be careful, because at those functions they attended, there were terrorist flags and symbols just everywhere. Thankfully, they were lucky, because the media failed to notice that. Meanwhile, US of the UN of the US of the world, big supremo Joe Biden Capitol, joined the hurtful, insensitive protesters describing war is peace, Zion supremo Benjamin Netanyahu, as a son of a bitch, bad guy. So you'll stop supporting the slaughter and destruction, Joe? Yes. Other than a few trillion in merchants of death merchandise and sending US of train killers to protect the poor Zion train killing machine. Imagine what he'd do if he liked the guy. Thankfully, we could see the end of all this disrespectful every Sunday with the disrespect every Sunday with the the constabulary and the government mooting a sensible permit system in which the constabulary will decide what protests can be held, and more importantly, what protests can't be held. And that should teach these long-haired commie greenie wooden working and iron lots who try to disrupt the train killing machine by calling for an end to train killing. Or, please, Constable, can we hold a protest against police violence and deaths in custody? A guaranteed permit. After heaping praise on a couple of admired exponents of the greatest little economic order of them all last week, we must pay homage this week to yet another, this time former True Blue Aussie Business Profits Council Supremo Tony Shep Heard the Profits, who took time off from his busy making profits schedule to proffer us more invaluable advice. Tony, over the years, has undertaken really important reports for sundry caring business class party governments, presumably and hopefully reasonably remunerated, always accepting that government remuneration to recommend slashing public spending other than corporate welfare, and calling for an increase in worker, lazy, avaricious worker productivity and a break on wage growth. And this week, Tony has given up his valuable time to attack the government's economic record, recommending slashing public spending, other than the corporate welfare, an increase in workers' productivity and a break on wage growth. Although to those of us who fail to comprehend the intricacies of the greatest little economic order, it would seem a bit confusing, other than we know Tony knows what he's talking about. He understands all this. Like a disastrous increase in government spending on waste, like the NDIS, Medicare, and the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. Irresponsible disabled and sick people. And job growth has been mainly in the public sector. Very, very unhealthy as well. When Tony knows wealth is generated in the private sector, that's where government spending and policies must go. We kind of thought they already were, but, well, we must increase productivity so workers can get higher wages. We must, Tony writes, focus on lifting productivity, stop wage growth, diversify our economy, value add to our mining exports. Now, here's where I get a bit confused, but concede to Tony's great knowledge. Apparently, in order for workers to get higher wages, we must stop wage growth alongside lifting productivity, which will allow wage growth. But most importantly, we must slash government spending. And here we can help Tony out, because we have found an obvious area where we can make a $72 million saving in one fell swoop. See, the former ScoMo coal, beautiful coal, don't be afraid of it, coalition government, introduced a training subsidy for caring employers, and salt, sugar and fat behemoth McDonald's has happily opened its coffers to $72 million of public funds to train young people in a certificate allowing them to do what they do anyway, train their staff. $72 million to learn how to say, have a nice day. With some unfair critics claiming the certificate McDonald's then provides is worthless. Perhaps they could just eat it. It'd be healthier than the stuff they're serving. So, Tony, good news. There's a big saving, and those irresponsible, disabled and sick wasting government resources and destroying the economy, well, potentially good news on the health front. The Royal, they must be important, the Royal True Blue Aussie College of Highly Paid Surgeons and other specialists have called on the government. Well, first, we've mentioned recently the crisis facing the private hospital and health system, friction between private hospitals and the private health insurance industry. Well, the Royal lot tell us the crisis in private health is so severe, so financially unhealthy, they have called on the government to bail out to fund the private system. See, Tony would see that as a sensible use of health funds, because the private sector generates wealth, while the public sector and irresponsible, disabled and sick sponges are a drain on the economy. So far, the government has resisted calls to divert the public purse to the private health system. Well, more of it, because there's already a fair whack that heads in that direction. Resisted, but wonder what the odds are, how long they'll hold out. One filthiest rich of exponent of the greatest little who knows how to put workers in their place, mainly the Dole Queue, former airline which used to be our airline supremo, Alan Joystick, is enjoying a company perk he may well have introduced himself. He's entitled to free round-the-world travel for the amount of time he was big supremo, another 22 years. It's tough being filthy rich, isn't it? Not so filthy rich, the Tiwi Islanders, who opposed responsible fossil sand toss us the profits, running a pipeline through their traditional waters from the Barossa gas project north of True Blue Aussie. Her Honour wisely dismissing their objection and implying their defence based on traditional culture was ridiculous superstition. Unlike Santos's sensible argument that making a killing, actually and hypothetically, is real religion. Well, this week, Arana has ordered the Environment Defenders Office to produce 3,200 documents so she can hit them with the TWR and the TWR auditors with Santos Us's extensive costs. And who says the law is an ass? And Tony would be proud of Resource Fossil spokesperson Samantha McCull Mother Earth. She's the one who endorses those ads, eulogising the wonders of renewable gas. I still haven't worked that one out. Anyway, Samantha says the government must do more to address the barriers to new gas development and investment, like, say, those pesky Tiwi Islanders. The government must back the evidence over ideology, must have Resource Fossil responsible by the planet-friendly environmental laws and climate change, if there is such a thing as climate change policies, and friendly tax and trade policies, presumably on tax changes, rather than just not pay any. They should be handed even trillions more from the taxes those who can't avoid them pay. Sorry, those who can't avoid meeting their legal tax obligations. Amazing how legal tax obligations oblige them not to pay any. Samantha, Tony would be proud of you. Finally, maintaining all this deep thinking, self-confessed Nazi Joseph Hersant stepped outside the court this week and revealed why he is a Nazi. He's one of the great criminal minds. Just found guilty of a Nazi salute and scheduled for a penalty hearing the next day. In other words, no comment when the media thrust the mics and cameras in your face. Jacob reveled in the limelight, boasting he was a proud Nazi and he would continue to give the Nazi salute. But I hope the police don't see it. He laughed. And his defense that he didn't really give a Nazi salute was just an argument. All of which would have impressed the beak no end, who next day said Jacob would definitely face time in the slot. Hasn't he got to be one of the smartest criminals we've come across in a long, long time? Good morning.